Today's scripture comes from 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, verses 6 through 15. So listen to Paul's words here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone else's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work should not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them, in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. In one way, this addresses an issue that's in the midst of our society right now in a culture, about idleness and about taking care of folks. I want you to notice, though, that this talks about believers. It does not talk about unbelievers. It talks about believers and what Paul has to say as an instruction about those that are part of the community of faith. And the very simple thing that everybody wants to take out of this is it says, if they don't work, they don't eat. How many times have I wanted to say that to somebody who comes to the church for benevolence? When I tell them what they need to do, go down to Open Door Community and talk to people down there, because that's where our benevolence funds go. They look at me and they say, well, you're a Christian, you're supposed to help me. And so many times I just want to look at them and quote the scripture to them and tell them, do you have a job? No? Well, then scripture says, I don't have to help you. That's the very simple explanation here, isn't it? Because quite often I've been called names that I hadn't heard since I worked in the shipyard. When I tell people what they need to do to get benevolence and how they need to get help. Jan has also been called some of those names. And they have given us a whole stream of reasons why we should not give to Open Door Community to take care of our benevolence. But I want you to recognize the fact that this scripture talks about believers. It doesn't talk about those outside the community. It talks about believers. And Paul encourages the people in the church to distance themselves from non-workers and disruptors. He encourages them to distance themselves. Now, I know some of you might say, how could Paul do this? Well, what he's trying to do is get the community to come together and to work together versus being a community that's arguing about what needs to be done, what shouldn't be done, what should be. And quite often, I will tell you that through my years of ministry, what I have seen is Monday morning quarterbacks a lot. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about there, is the church does some kind of ministry and does some kind of help, and somebody comes along later that did not participate in helping and says, well, I could have told you that wasn't going to work. Or you should have done it this way instead of this way. And they never participated and they never helped. They just want to be the Monday morning quarterback that explains if the quarterback had played the game this way, they would have won. And Paul says that what we should do is we should distance ourselves from those people. If they're not willing to participate and they're not willing to work, then we should distance ourselves and not listen to them. Now, at the end of the passage, he says that you do that so that it will shame them. Wait a minute. Paul encourages us to shame people? Paul encourages us not to interact with people that are non-workers and that are disruptors. He sets an example for them by working so as not to be a burden on them. He set an example, and he tells them, I could have required you to support me, because that's right. But I didn't. I set an example for you about working and how work needs to be done. Because when everybody in the community takes part in what's going on and what's happening, then the community can support itself. And you see, Paul's preaching and talking to a community that needed people to do all these little pieces so that all of these little pieces would fit together. For us in our society now, sometimes we go out and buy what we need that's already been prepared somewhere else so that we can do what needs to happen. They didn't have the availability of that in their day and age. There was not a Lowe's to go to pick up timber that had already been milled. They needed somebody in their community that could mill the timber so that they could build what they needed to build. And everybody needed to take a part and take a piece in what was going on. It's more of that assembly line idea when people in the community, some people could do this, some could do this, some could do this, and everybody worked at their best, what was their best strengths. And putting all of those strengths together made it so that they, as a village, as a town, as a community, could exist and could work together and bring about the good of the whole community. It's not always the case for us nowadays. For part of the thing that the American dream is about is I get as much as I can for me and my family. And even a walk with God tends to be more individualistic than it does as part of a community. It's my relationship with God. It's what God asks me to do. It's how God asks me to reach out. It's what God wants me to do. And it's all about me and I. It's not about community. And we need to gather in that understanding of community again, because they lived in that type of society where without the community, it was not possible for them to be successful. And I'm going to say this boldly. It's not possible for a church to be successful without a community. Individuals can't do it. It's a community that comes together and that lives their best strengths and gives to their best strengths. Okay? And as you exist with your strength and you with yours, and as that all comes together, then as a community of faith, we can be most successful. Because idleness leads to a community not receiving its needed support. One of the things that I've thought about is in the book of Exodus, God explains to Moses how to talk to the people about moving the tabernacle from one place to another. And to me, that's very, very instructive, because some of the people are for wrapping things up to transport them. Some of the people are for carrying them. One of the things that's very incredible to me is there's a clan in there that their only job is to carry the structures, the tent pegs, the lines, the poles from one place to another. And sometimes I've thought about this. I don't know how many of you have been camping and and I'm talking in a tent, not an RV. Leave one peg out for your tent, and what happens? It's going to fall. It's not going to work well. It's not going to stand up. It's not going to be the best. And if it's a windy or stormy night, it's going to be miserable if you left one peg out. Think about the tabernacle. Because the tabernacle was not a stone structure, but it was a structure of fabric. Say that one person decided one day, you know what? I am tired of carrying this tent peg. And I'm not going to carry it to the next place. What would happen when they went to set it up again? What would happen if somebody said, this pole right here? Nope. Not, I'm tired of moving it from place to place. I'm not going to carry it. That's not my job anymore. What would happen? They couldn't set the tabernacle back up correctly, could they? It would be missing something. You see, idleness leads to a community not receiving its needed support. And when people as part of the community decide to be idle versus being part of what the community is doing, then the community cannot support itself. And this is what Paul's talking about. If you're going to eat and you're going to take benefits from the community, you need to be part of the community. And if you're idle, then part of the community is not going to work right. Paul doesn't specifically say this here, but I think Paul would support what I'm going to share with you next. This can happen on the spiritual side when people remain idle about God's work. The same thing can happen on the spiritual side when people remain idle about God's work. The community is missing what it needs. The community does not get the support that it needs. The community is suffering because not every part is participating. And I truly think that Paul would be supportive of that by looking at all of his other scriptures. Because he talks about the body of Christ is a spiritual body and everybody has a part in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He talks about in the book of Romans and that we all have a part. We have a gift that we've been given that's meant to be part of the community of faith. Whatever that gift might be. And if we're not using that gift as part of the community, Paul says the community suffers. He likens this to when one part of our body gets sick. If you don't believe me, I'll give you a little experiment. I want you to go home and go find your hammer. Lay your hand on something hard and hit your thumb with the hammer. Which part of your body does that affect first? Your mouth? Actually, it affects your thumb first, but your mouth is the first one that has some kind of action. I heard somebody say, well, it gets to your brain. Well, all of that happens so fast that in one way, it seems as though your mouth is the first thing that's affected. Now, you got a bad knee and you can't get around very well. How much of your body does that affect? All of your body. Now, let me turn that around to the church. If there are people in the community of faith that are not part of ministry, what does that do to the community of faith? And would Paul say to them, if you don't work, you don't eat? Would Paul say that to them? I think so. You see, when a community of faith doesn't work together in one direction, I'm not talking about everybody being identical and exactly the same. May be surprising to you, but I didn't marry Deanne because her and I are exactly the same. I married her because she has some strengths I don't have. I married her to get out of debt because she has some very strong financial suits that she was taught by her dad. Yes, I did. I married her to get out of debt. You think I'm making it up? I'm not making it up. My credit card was to the max. And she taught me how not to do that. I married her because she has some strengths I don't have. We need people in the community of faith that way. There are some folks that have this strength and some that have this. And we need to, in one way, not question and not decide how the other person should do something, but we need to take our part in the community of faith. Amen? We need to use our skills, our talents in the community of faith. You see, what we do in the community of faith is eternal. And some of the other things we do in life are not eternal. It doesn't matter if I can read 100 or 200 books a year, does it? That's not going to eternity with me. But what I do to help the community come together, what I do to help the community to live as God wants us to live, that's eternal, isn't it? Where should I be investing my time? You see, we have a lot of people benevolence-wise. I'll go back to that. We have a lot of people that show up and say, I need help. And they'll look at me and say, well, if you're a Christian, you'll help me. And they'll say, come on, you got to help me. You know, I'm a Christian too. Well, if they'll admit that to me, then I might be willing to say, if you don't work, you don't eat. You can't be part of the community if you're not involved in the ministry of the community. I can very clearly always say this. There is always a need for more workers in the church. Many times in Scripture, Jesus looks at the disciples and he looks at other people and he says, the fields are ripe for harvest. Pray that God will send more workers. There is always a need for more workers. There is always a need for more people to be involved with the ministry of the church. It's a common known fact, if you pay attention, that only about 10% of the people in any community of faith do 90% of the work. Sometimes I want to ask, what about the other 90%? how much more could be accomplished? How much more could be done if everybody that's a part of the community of faith participates in the ministry of the community? How much more? I wonder. I challenge myself constantly to try to do more. But I also try to balance that, to make sure that I'm successful at what I do. Because there is a concept that you can spread yourself way too thin. So those of you that are already participating greatly in the ministry of the church, I'm not talking to you about participating more. There's only so much any one person can do. But I really wonder what happened if the whole community did something. You see, we've come up with some ideas of some ministries that we want to branch out into, some things that we want to do. Ministry to caregivers. We've talked about extending a Bible study further out beyond the walls of this church into this community, trying to get people to come. We've talked about hosting a meal somewhere else for the specific purpose of introducing people to Jesus Christ. To get any of those three things done is going to take work. And it's going to take many people's involvement. And I'm just asking today, can you be involved more? Can you be part of the ministry of this church? Paul has some tough words here. He says in verse 14, take special note of anyone who does not obey our instructions in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. But then he goes on to temper that in verse 15. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Love and compassion. It's not ostracizing people. Love and compassion. Coming to people and warning them and telling them, you need to be part of the ministry of what we're doing. You need to be part and participate in the community and what the community is doing. There's always a need for more workers in the church. I'll never forget my first ministry position. I've shared about this many times, but I want to share about it one more time. I was called to a church to be their minister of outreach. Not the senior pastor, but to be their minister of outreach. And so what I did was I had a team of 10 people that were the outreach team to take the word of Jesus Christ out into the community. I spent time training these people how to do that. And the chairman of deacons, a young fellow, says, I need to have a meeting with you. And I asked him, I said, what do we need to meet about? And he said, you're not doing your job. So I met with him. I said, you need to explain this to me. I'm not doing my job. He said, well, you're not doing what we hired you to do. And I said, can I explain something to you? I'm training these 10 people, and then there's going to be 11 of us out there doing it. That seems to be much more probable of succeeding than just one of me. And he said, that's not what we hired you to do. We hired you to do the job. And I just looked at him and I said, what's going to happen when I leave? Who's going to do it then? And he looked at me just as plain as could be, and I'll never forget this. We'll hire somebody else to do it. That's not the idea that Paul gives about ministry. And there's too many churches out there that believe that. We're going to hire somebody to do that job for us. so that we don't have to. Or we're going to give money to that so that we don't have to. And let somebody else accomplish it. Folks, God needs each and every one of us to be part of the ministry of this church. In some way, somehow. Each and every one of us. That is what will make this church successful. That's what will grow this church. That's what will reach out into the community. That's what will bring people to Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of you might be looking at me and going, well, physically, I can't do anything. You can pray. You can call. You can write letters. You can send cards to encourage people to take a further step in the ministry of the church. There's plenty. I can have something for everybody in this room to do. And if everybody did something, it would be accomplished in no time whatsoever, and people would be coming to Christ. God wants to use every person. And I just wonder if Paul would say this. If you're not involved in the ministry of the church, you shouldn't get any benefits from being part of the church. I wonder if Paul would say that. Because he says if you don't work, you don't get to eat. If we're not involved in the ministry that God's calling this church to be part of, should we get benefits from it? So I just want to ask you to spend some time in prayer. Are you involved in ministry work to help people come closer to God? Is there something that you do as part of the ministry of this church that helps people come closer to God? If not, come to me and I will help you find a place that you can serve. Because God needs more workers in the fields that are ripe for harvest. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes it's so easy to look at these words and point out other people, to point out other folks that are not doing what you've asked them to do. And the truth is, Lord, sometimes we just need to pause for a moment and look at ourselves. And we need to allow your scripture to work in our lives, so that we might understand our place and how we might help people come to Christ. And Lord, there's plenty of people out there that don't know you. We know that and we see evidence of that. We talk about it and wish that they would. But the truth is, somehow, some way, they need a personal contact with somebody who has a relationship with you. And without that personal contact, they may never step into a relationship with you. Show us where we can be effective. Show us where we can help with ministry with our strengths and with our limitations. Show us where we best can serve, so that maybe, just maybe, the fields wouldn't be white for harvest around here, but that all would be harvested and people would be closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.